Our Father, in the name of Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to fellowship around the written word and to fellowship with one another. And our Father, we ask that as we look into your word now, and every eye is open to see, every ear is open to hear, there is no confusion in any heart. Rather, the eyes of our understanding are flooded with light and illumination in all of this house. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father, we'll give you praise, for we know it's done, for in Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. You can take your seat. 1 Corinthians 14:23. 1 Corinthians 14:23. Okay. Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues, and they come in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, we will then not say that you are out of your mind. Okay, that statement is I almost want to say the business, amen, of the uninformed and unbelievers, amen. They are the ones who say that we are out of our mind, but we are not, amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, so that is their perspectives of spiritual things going on within the local church. Okay, but our focus are the A part. Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place, amen, epitote, right, in one place, we are gathered together in a particular location. So that speaks of a local church, amen, a local assembly. Okay, so we've been examining the ecclesia, amen. Said quite a number of things. You know, we said that the ecclesia of Christ can be used or understood in two ways, either in the general sense or in the local sense. Okay, so we had the teaching, the church of the living God, that was much more general, right? Then this teaching is like you zoomed in. Do you get it? So it's much more particular on the local sense of the church. Amen. So we've been looking at this for quite some time now. You know, we also examine certain words used in the Greek to further describe the ecclesia. Amen. We saw the sunago, amen, which is the verb which means or refers to a coming together, a gathering, or the synagogue. Okay, where we get that English term synagogue, right, or synagogue. Okay, which speaks of a coming together of the Jews. Okay, then we saw that phrase epitoto, which means in one place, used to qualify the gatherings. So church meetings were done in a place, say a place, okay, a specific location. So the church is not a building, but the church would often meet in one, we said. So that would be a local church, a local assembly. And we also saw unity within the gatherings, okay, described with words such as omathumadon, which means of one accord, prosunekomai, which speaks much more of the coming together of the church, used seven times in 1 Corinthians by Paul as he corrected the excesses in Corinth. You know, all the usages in that book are negative. You know, that says a lot of that church. So Paul's epistles emphasized order, right, as well as unity within local assemblies. You know, we saw that motif of oneness, right, throughout his writings. Together, 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 join together, do this together, okay, throughout Paul's writings. So the local church is not just where we gather, but where we gather as one. Praise the Lord. Okay, then we moved on to examine the characteristics of a local church. We said that a local church is a body of believers, a body of Christians, those who have put faith in Christ. Amen. Then also, the local church has definite leadership. The local church is not where we are all leaders. Amen. You know, whereby anyone can just stand up one morning and give his opinion or his suggestions. Nope. They are leaders who are in charge in the assemblies. You see that in Acts 6, where there were issues about natural things, you know, there they complained about food. You remember that? Okay, and they knew who to tell. They went immediately to the 12. Do you get it? Okay, in Acts 15, where there were issues about doctrine, they also went to what? The apostles, right? And then James the pastor, do you remember that? Gave the final word. He says, I judge. and that settled the matter. So do you see that either natural things or spiritual things, they are leaders in charge? Do you see that? So take care of such things within the body of Christ. Okay, then next we said that the local church is a body of Christians believing the same things. Okay, in the local church we have common faith and practice. Amen. That's why a local church generally would have a statement of belief. Amen. We believe. Amen. So we have certain tenets. Okay, things that we agree to be true. Okay, and anyone who refuses to believe the same things and still wants to be a part of the local church is called a heretic. Amen. From hereticos in the Greek, which means a causer of divisions, a divisive man. Okay, one who likes to form sects. Right? He wants to say things like, well, you know, think of a pastor. Pastor is doing very well, but there are other deeper stuff. Amen. That pastor is not hitting. So, you know, it takes church members after himself taking influence away from leadership. Shouldn't be. Amen. Okay? Paul admonishes that you stay away, right? From such a person. Let him go. Amen. Then next, we said that the local church is a gathering of Christians to perform some spiritual act. Amen. You know, this could be several things. You know, hearing God's word, prayer, demonstrating things of the spirit, prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues, or a revelation. Okay? Or even singing. Praise the Lord. But notice, we are not gathering to watch movies. Amen. Okay? The church is not a concert. Amen. You see how some services are held today, and you are almost tempted to think that this is Billie Eilish. Amen. Billie Eilish concert, or Justin Bieber. Amen. Or Chris Brown, Rihanna, Beyonce. If you don't know these folks, it's not an issue. It just simply means you are old. Amen. If I say Baba Suwe, aha, it will come home to you. Or what's the name of this guy? Pasuma, ha. Hallelujah. There's another one. Obey. Right? Aha. There's another one. Fela. Aha. Okay. Ha. You know, if if those are the ones you know, ha, you are very old though. Ah, you are a grandpapa in Christ. Okay. So, the local church is not for such things. Okay. We invite Beyonce to church. Then we give her the microphone. Say, come and teach so that people can come. Ha. Jesus Christ. You know, not for frivolities. Amen. Okay, but for discipleship, praise the Lord. Okay, just like Jesus instructed, Matthew 28:19, it says, go therefore make disciples. That already suggests seriousness. Amen. You know, disciples are serious. Amen. Students, they are mentees. Okay, of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. How is that done? 20 tells us, teaching them. Underline that, okay? Teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Okay? So, in the local church, spiritual growth and development are what take place. Praise the Lord. Okay, not playing and just having a good time. You know, we'll see all of that in this service anyways. Okay, then also, we said that the local church is a gathering of Christians in a given location. Local means where you are or close to you. Okay, so a Christian is part of the universal body of Christ, right? But he is also expected to identify with the local expression of that body. Amen? So find a company of Christians where you are and be a part of them. Okay, that's why the epistles of Paul were written to specific local churches. Amen? Says the saints at Rome, Corinth, Philippi, and so on and so forth. Praise the Lord. Then lastly, we said that and the local church is a gathering of believers who meet at a regular fixed time. And the early church met primarily on the first day of the week, right? And the reason for this was because Jesus was raised on that day. So that was to commemorate the resurrection of the Savior. Okay, but we saw that they also met on other days, right? Remember, we saw a Wednesday. Remember that? Okay, so but the reason for a set day is discipline. Okay, like I say, we meet on this day at this time. That is a local church. Okay, and then we concluded. We said the local church is God's temple. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Right, is Nahos, is most holy place where He dwells. Right, and manifests Himself. Okay, so it is sacred and must be treated as such. Then we moved on to see church membership and accountability. We said every Christian must be part of a local church. A Christian who is not part of a local church is seen as an aberration. Amen? You know, we saw that throughout the book of Acts, throughout the epistles, and even throughout church history. Praise the Lord. Okay? It is a deviation from church pattern for a Christian to refuse to gather with some local assembly. Okay? Then we moved on to see what happens within a local church in our services. Why did God give local churches? Amen? And then we saw that word service from proskuneo, which means worship. Amen? And we said worship does not mean slow song in the Bible. Amen? Worship is any act of obeisance to God. So anything that gives God praise is worship. Do you get it? In the Bible. So Bible reading is worship. Amen? The public reading of scripture. Then prayer is also worship. Amen? Okay? Bible teaching, what we are doing now is worship. Amen? Okay, we are giving praise to God, honor to Him. Okay, singing as well as worship, and this is the one several people know. Amen. And giving is also worship. Praise the Lord. Okay, then we ask the question: politics and charity, are they the church's role, the church's duty? And we said no. You know, the church had several roles, but politics and charity were not one of them. The church primarily is focused on its members, praise the Lord. So even when the church gave, it gave primarily to church members in need. Praise the Lord. Okay, then we proceeded to examine leadership within the local church. Amen. We said there are those God has set right in the local church over His people. Okay, and we saw the office of the pastor as the head of the local church. He's the bishop, he's the overseer. Amen. He has the duty, the role to lead God's people. Remember that? And the congregation has the responsibility to follow His leading. Okay, then we ask the question, can women lead local churches? Okay, is there anything that says a woman cannot lead a local church? And then we saw throughout scripture that nowhere are women barred from public ministry. Amen. 1 Corinthians 14, 34 to 35 and 1 Timothy 2, 11 to 12 don't teach that. Amen. They must be read contextually within the context of a married couple. 1 Corinthians 14 was telling lousy wives, okay, to be quiet or silent in the services. Okay, so even if you apply that to a woman today, she must be married. Amen. Okay, so if she's not married, that doesn't apply to her. Amen. Okay, then 1 Timothy 2 was telling wives not to talk back to their husbands. The wife should not stage a coup. Remember that? Against her husband. The husband is the rightful head of the family. Okay, so those texts were not saying that women can't preach. Okay, they were simply instructions of submission within the context of marriage. But in life and ministry, a woman can do better than the men. Amen. You know, we've seen several of them, right? Today, that do better than men. Amen. You know, in classes, they said that the first three are usually the women. Amen. Is that right? Is that right? In school, in your class, you know, the first three on the list who are doing well are usually female. Amen. Women. Hallelujah. It's the same for me too. Okay? All right. So, women can exceed more than men in every other field of life. Amen. I've seen women engineers. Amen. So, I mean, women pilots. Praise the Lord. Women doctors. Okay. But in marriage, you know, a woman is never supposed to go low except in marriage. And that going low is actually walking in love. Do you get it? Okay. Toward a husband. Not that your husband will now say, hey, go low. Go low so I can slap you very well. Let my hand get to your face very well. Nope. Okay, is actually to walk in love. And a man who has common sense as well would not see his wife going low as an opportunity to subjugate her. Okay, amen. Okay, then in the last service, we saw correction and discipline within the local church. We said that God never smiles at sin, right? God confronts sin. You know, when we teach the grace of God, some people think what we are saying is that God just likes sin. Amen. We didn't say that. Do you get it? Once saved, forever saved doesn't mean that God loves sin. God just likes to smile at sin. No one ever said that. Amen. What I told you was that God forgave you your sins. Amen. Stop there. Do you get it? That's where I stopped, right? I didn't say God loves sin. Do you know I can forgive something while eating it? Huh? Okay, thank you. Okay, so God never smiles at sin. Amen. Okay, He confronts sin. Okay, He will send men to correct you from going astray. You know, we see this throughout the Old Testament portion of the Bible. Okay, the books of Genesis to Malachi. Okay, that Adam and Eve sinned, God corrects them. Amen. Remember that? He confronts that. Then Cain as well, God confronts his sin. Then Noah as well was sent to his generation. He preached for 120 years. Okay, and just had 8 souls. What a ministry. What a ministry. He preached for 120 years and just 8 souls were saved. Okay, then we saw King Saul, okay, right? You know, who was also corrected by Samuel. And you see that Samuel wasn't scared of him, right? Because he was a king. Samuel told him things as they were. You know, King David as well. Prophet Nathan was sent to him, right? After he killed Uriah, took his wife Bathsheba, right? Okay, to be his own. And then, but unlike King Saul, David was much more repentant, right? And he was restored. Then we also saw one King Uzziah. You know, he followed Yahweh in his early years, but when he grew strong, he grew proud, you know, and he received the consequences of his actions. Then moving quickly to the New Testament, we saw Jesus, right? The Messiah. He had a ministry of rebukes. Amen? A ministry of corrections. Our Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay? Jesus corrected both the Pharisees as well as his own disciples, right? You know, several times he will call the Pharisees hypocrites. Amen? He used some very strong words on them. And you know, those were like the top spiritual leaders of that day. But Jesus wasn't scared. Amen? Is not less sin because you are influential. Amen. We will say things as they are. And his disciples also learned that culture. They imbibed that culture from him. You see in the book of Acts that they corrected as well. Peter corrects Ananias and Sapphira. Then also in the epistles, Paul corrects Peter. Amen. Then Paul also corrects Archippus. Remember that? You know, and so on and so forth. And you know, we also said that we can also have corporate correction, whereby the old church corrects. So not every time the pastor alone, you know, you as a church member, you have the right, when you see someone going astray, to call him to order. Amen? Okay, now that doesn't mean you are the pastor. Do you get it? Okay, but you as well can also minister corrections in a certain context. Do you follow that? Okay, so the church members can help the pastor in his corrective ministry. Amen? In his ministry of rebukes. Praise the Lord. And the attitude in correction is to help the other brother, not to destroy. Remember, we saw all of that, right? To restore him, amen, not to destroy. And we also said that correction must not be done hypocritically, amen. The one correcting must not be a worse offender. Jesus said that, right? Remove the plank in your eye before you remove the speck in another person's eye. Okay? And the one corrected also has a duty, right, to receive that correction. So he has a free will. He can choose to accept or reject correction. But the one who receives correction will be better for it. Amen. We continue from there in this service. Praise the Lord. Okay, so in this service, we want to just ask a question and answer that same question. Simple. How do I choose my local church? Amen. How do I choose my local church? Remember, we're still looking at why God gave local churches, right? Okay, so now how do I choose my local church? Now to answer this question, you first have to ask another question. Amen? Why did God give local churches in the first place? Amen? What did Jesus intend to happen within a local church, a local assembly? Now Ephesians 4 tells us, right? Now please turn there. Ephesians 4. Verse 7. I want you to be very handy with your Bible, okay? We want to do a little bit of study in this service, okay? So just have your Bible handy, okay? Ephesians 4, 7. Are you there? Okay? But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure, underline that, measure of Christ's gift. Now that word measure here, metron in the Greek, means a determined extent. Okay? A determined extent. What is limited? That's the word metron. Okay? Metron. Okay? That is, we don't all have the same of this. Do you get it? It is limited. So Jesus Christ himself determines how much of this each one receives. Okay? And that is why Paul often used this word for ministry. So in Christ, we all have the same things, but not the same functions. That is the metron. Do you get it? Determined extent. You see that Paul uses this same word elsewhere. Romans 12:3. Please turn your Bible there. Let's see that. Romans 12:3. Please be very handy with your Bible, okay? Romans 12:3. Okay? It says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think," okay? "But to think soberly." Now look at this. "As God has dealt to each one of us a what? Measure of faith." Underline that. A measure of faith. Okay? Metron. That's that word measure, okay? Now, what does it mean by a measure of faith? Read on, verse 4. Okay? "For as we have many members in one body," organs, right? Right? Okay? "But all the members do not all have the same function." Underline that. The same function. Do you see that? Now that is the measure. Do you get it? The metron. Now that word function used here, it translates the Greek word praxis. P-R-A-X-I-S. Praxis, okay? Which means responsibility or office. Okay? Office. So the measure of faith refers to different responsibilities in the body of Christ. Okay? We don't all have the same offices. You see that verses 5 to 8 make that clear. It says, "So we being many are one body in Christ," and what? "Individually members of one another." You see that Paul often used this word individually when referring to our different roles and functions within the body. Now, it translates the Greek kata, K-A-T-A, okay? Kata, which means apart. Apart. What separates one from another. You can say proportionately. Okay? So, measure, metron, right? And individually, kata, are Paul's words for ministry gifts. Do you see that? Special gifts given for ministry. The metron and the kata. Now see verse 6. "Having then gifts differing," underline that, gifts differing. Can we say different gifts? Okay, thank you. "According to the grace that is given to us." Can we say given to us individually? Okay, thank you. "Let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith." Underline that. In proportion to our faith. Now that would be the measure of faith. Do you get it now? The measure of ministry given to you. So faith here is ministry. Do you see that? The word faith used in a context. It is ministry here. Do you get it? Okay. Now look at 7. "Or ministry." Do you get it now? Okay. "Let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness." So there is a measure of faith. Okay. Given to every ministry gift. Okay. The metron. Okay, and we are to minister according to that measure and not to think of ourselves more highly than we should. Romans 12 verse 3 says. You know what that means? That means, literally, don't do waiting past your power. That's what Paul is saying there. Okay, don't do waiting past your power. That is, stay with your giftings in Christ. Do you get it? Okay, don't think of yourself more highly than the gift given to you for ministry. Do you see that? Okay, and you see that Paul was always careful not to boast beyond the measure given to him. See how he says this, 2 Corinthians 10:13. Please turn there. 2 Corinthians 10:13. says, we, however, will not boast beyond measure. Underline that. Beyond measure. Now, Paul uses that word metron here again. Okay? Measure, okay? So, we can read it this way. We, however, will not boast beyond our ministry gifts. Do you get it? Do you get it? Okay? Now, it continues. But within the limits. Very key. Underline that. Within the limits of the sphere which God appointed us. Underline that. Which God appointed us. So, it is God himself that appoints this one. Not men. Do you see that there? Men can't choose which ones they want or which ones they do not want. You know, when it comes to the nine gifts of the Spirit, you know, we can choose, right? What we use part time. But when it comes to ministry gifts, God himself, do you get it? Appoints these ones. Do you follow that? Now, Paul continues, a sphere which especially includes you. Underline that, includes you. So that will be the Corinthian church. Okay, or the church at Corinth. So, Paul's ministry included the church at Corinth. Do you get it? That is his sphere of influence. Do you get it? Okay? Now, it continues in verse 14. For we are not overextending ourselves. Underline that. Overextending ourselves. As though our authority did not extend to you. For it was to you that we came with the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things. Now, look at this. Beyond measure. Underline that. Beyond measure. That is, in other men's labors. Underline that. Other men's labors, okay? But having hope that as your faith is increased, we shall be greatly enlarged by you in our sphere to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. Underline that. Beyond you. And not to boast in another man's sphere of accomplishment. Underline that. Boast in another man's sphere of accomplishment. So, Paul knew his place. Do you see that there? That's what he's saying here. He knew his place and stayed there. Do you follow that? Paul knew his sphere and other men's sphere. Okay? So, what God has called you to do in the body is completely different from others. Do you see that? So, know your place. What did I say? Know your place. Okay? So, Paul was comfortable with God's calling over his life. Praise the Lord. You see that there? He was comfortable with it. And that is why you see oftentimes that Paul will brag about this calling. Romans 1:5. Romans 1:5. It says, through him there being our Lord Jesus Christ, we, okay, have received grace. Now, grace here would refer to a special ministry gift. Do you get it? So, grace can be used in several contexts. Do you see that there? Okay, here it refers to a special ministry gift. You see, he explains. It says, and, kairai, can you say that is, which is, okay, apostleship. That is the grace here. Can I see how you follow that? Thank you very much. Apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. So, Paul was appointed an apostle through Christ. So, we in verse 5 is not every Christian. Do you see that there? It is specific, Paul and his fellow apostles. Amen? We see that Jesus spoke about Paul's ministry. Okay? The role that Paul will play. First of all, in Acts 9. Please turn there. Acts 9:15. Acts 9:15. Okay? But the Lord said to him, go, for he, now he there is Paul, okay, is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel, for I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now that is specific. Do you see that? For Paul alone. Okay? For him alone. You see that in Acts 13, this role becomes clearer. Look at Acts 13:1. Acts 13:1. It says, now in the church that was at Antioch, you know, we said that was Paul's local church, right? Okay, thank you. There were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was also called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manahen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul, underline that, and Saul, for the work, underline that, the work to which I've called them, then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they send them away. Underline that, they send them away. Now that phrase, send away, used here, it translates the Greek apoluo. Okay, apoluo, A-P-O-L-U-O, the last O accentuated, which means to release. Okay, to release. So once Paul's ministry became clear, he was released. Do you see that? To carry it out. So Paul would occupy the role of apostle in the body of Christ. See Romans 1:1. Okay, we're running through now, okay? Romans 1:1. It says, Paul, a born servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. Underline that. Called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. Can we call this his measure of faith? Okay, thank you. 1 Corinthians 1:1. Let's see that. 1 Corinthians 1:1. It says, Paul, called to be an apostle. Underline that. Called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God and sustenance our brother. Okay, see 1 Corinthians 9:1. 1 Corinthians 9:1. It says, am I not an apostle? Underline that. Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord? Now, rhetorical questions, right? Okay, for I am not an apostle to others, yet doubtless I am to you. Okay, for you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. So Paul was called to be an apostle. Okay, and it is clear that not everyone in the body of Christ had the same role as Paul. Look at 1 Corinthians 12:28. 1 Corinthians 12:28. Okay, it says, and God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. And look at 29, are all apostles, rhetorical, right? Now the answer would be no. Amen. Are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, all speak with tongues, do all have the gifts of healings, do all interpret. Okay, remember I explained this to you, right? Get that teaching, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is explained there, okay? What does Paul mean here? Do all speak with tongues, okay? It's within a context. So this is the measure within the body of Christ. Ephesians 4:7. Do you see that now? Different gifts to different individuals for ministry. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we would find men with different offices and positions within the body of Christ. Paul calls it the measure of Christ's gift. Ephesians 4:7. Okay, then he continues. Ephesians 4:8. Now go back there. Ephesians 4:8. It says, therefore he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now observe here that he's quoting from Psalm 68 verse 18. Now put your hand here and turn there. Ensure you put your hand here, okay? And turn there. I want to see something now. Psalm 68 verse 18. So put your hand, Ephesians 4, turn to Psalm 68 verse 18. Now this psalm was a psalm to celebrate the moving of the ark, okay, after war. And look at verse 18, Psalm 68. It says, you have ascended on high, you have led captivity captive, you have what? Received gifts among men, even from the rebellious, that the Lord God might dwell there. Interesting. Now, do you notice some differences between this and Ephesians 4:8? Now, I told you, put your hands there. Now, look at it. Ephesians 4:8, then Psalm 68 verse 18. I'll wait for you. Look at it. Did you see that? Okay. Ephesians 4:8 says, he led captivity captive and what? Gave gifts. right, to men. But the source text, Psalm 68 verse 18 says, you have received, right, gifts among men. So Ephesians says he gave gifts, while the Psalms says he received gifts. So the question now is, did Paul quote the Psalm incorrectly? Amen. So Bible critics come to our text such as this, and they say, you see, there are contradictions in the Bible. A teaching will be out this week, okay, that will explain all of this. Amen. Can the Bible be trusted? So you will see all of these there are contradictions in the Bible and all of that. So he will explain all of this to you, okay? Is that clear? Now the question is, did Paul quote the Psalm incorrectly? The answer will be no. Amen. Now, first of all, note that the word received in Psalm 68 verse 18, it translates the Hebrew laukak. Very important word. Laukak. L-A-Q-A-C-H. L-A-Q-A-C-H. Laukak. Now, this word was used in the Hebrew for taking or receiving something for another. Did you get that? Taking something or receiving something bought for another. Do you follow that? Now see how it's used. Genesis 15 verse 9. We are running through now, okay? Genesis 15 9. Genesis 15 9. Okay? So he said to him, so God is speaking here, bring me. Okay? Laukak me. That's that word. On the line bring, okay, that's laukak in the Hebrew. A 3-year-old ifah, a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. So Abraham here would receive the ifah, the female goat, the ram, the turtle dove, and pigeon, but not for himself. Do you get it? But for another. Okay, for God. Do you see that? So he receives to give. Do you see that? That is laukak. Do you follow that? Okay. See Genesis 18:5. Genesis 18:5. Now this is where Abraham met with three supernatural beings. Okay. Some have said they were God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Okay. They were angels. Okay. See verse 5. Genesis 18:5. Okay. It says, and I will bring, that's that word laukak, okay? I will laukak, a morsel of bread, that you may refresh your heart. After that, you may pass by inasmuch as you have come to your servant. So Abraham again would receive the bread, but for, do you get it? The three men. So the bread will come to him, right? In his hands, right? Then be distributed to others. Do you follow this? Okay, see, Genesis 27:13. Genesis 27:13. Okay. But his mother said to him, let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice. Go and get. Laukak. Online get, okay? That's that word. Get them for me. Now remember, this was where Jacob received his brother's birthright, right? And you see that his mother actually instructed him to go get our two choice kids of the flock. You see that verse 9 of that same chapter? Okay, verse 9. It says, go now to the flock and bring me, underline that, bring me from there two choice kids of the goats, and I will make savory food from them for your father, such as he loves. Then you shall take it to your father, okay, that he may eat it, and that he may bless you, underline that, okay, bless you before his death. So what is gotten in verse 13 are the goats for Rebecca. Do you see that? So Jacob would receive the goats, right, but for someone else. Do you see that? He would bring them to his mother. So that word laukak is used sometimes for receiving in order to give. Do you follow that so far? The one receiving is fetching it for the sake of others. Now see Psalm 68:18 again. Go back there. Psalm 68:18. Please, I want you to follow this carefully, okay? Psalm 68:18. Please Please go back there. It says you, now that's God, okay, have ascended on high, you have led captivity captive, you have received guilt among men. Actually, the Hebrew says you have received guilt for men. That is the Hebrew, okay? For men. Even from the rebellious, that the Lord God might dwell there. So the psalmist here speaks of the ascension of God. Do you see that? The ascension of God. Now, in that ascension, he would receive gifts for men. Remember that word, laukak, right? Okay? So the gifts are not for himself, but for his people. So God is receiving to give. Come on. Laukak, right? Is receiving to give. Now read the next verse in Psalm 68, verse 19. It says, blessed be the Lord who daily what? Loads us with benefits. Underline that. Loads us with benefits. The God of our salvation, Selah. So after God receives these gifts, he gives them back to his people. That's what loads us with benefits means there. Do you get it? The benefits are the gifts. So Psalm 68 describes God receiving gifts so that he could give gifts. Do you see that now? Do you see that now? Okay, the gifts he receives are then distributed amongst the people. Just like in Israel, the spoils of war were usually distributed amongst Israel. Remember, this is a war psalm, right? Okay, so did God give gifts in Psalm 68? Huh? Did he? Yes! He received to give. Do you get it now? Laukak. Do you see that? So, what did Paul do, Ephesians 4? Paul reads the entire Psalm 68, understood the idea there, and then used it in Ephesians 4. Now, Psalm 68 is a conquest psalm. Okay, a psalm describing victory in war. Paul now applies it to the conquest of Jesus. You see, Jesus conquered. Amen. Amen. Look at Colossians 2:15. Quickly. Colossians 2:15. It says, having the same principalities and powers, he there is Jesus, okay, made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Hallelujah. Underline that, triumphing over them in it. So Jesus fought and conquered principalities and powers, okay, the powers of darkness. Now, after battle, in Bible days, the conqueror receives the gifts, right, or the spoils of war. Do you follow that? Now the question is, what did Jesus receive? Do you follow that logic? What did Jesus receive? Now Jesus would receive what the principalities and powers had before their defeat. Now what is that? Hebrews 2 tells us. Turn there. Hebrews 2:14. What did they have? Hebrews 2:14. It says, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him. Underline that. Destroy him, okay? Who had the power of death, that is what? The devil. Now look at 15. And release those. Underline that. Release those who through fear of death were all dear. Underline that. Dear. Lifetime subject to death. So what did the devil have in his bondage? Men. Do you see that? So the spoils are not a what, they are a who. Do you know that? People. You see that in verse 15. It says those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to death. So Jesus' spoils are men. Praise the Lord. That is what he received at his resurrection and ascension. Remember, that is how he ascended on high, right? Psalm 68:18. Now, first of all, by dying and being raised. Look at Ephesians 4:9. Ephesians 4:9. Okay? Ephesians 4:9. It says, now this, he ascended. What does it mean? But that he also first what? Descended into the lowest parts of the earth. Online that, okay? Speaking of his death. Okay, now look at 10. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above. Is this Psalm 68? Okay, thank you. Underline that. Ascended far above all the heavens. Praise the Lord. That he may fill all things. So, everything that Jesus receives at his ascension will be distributed back to his people. Do you follow that? Okay, follow closely. Now, within Jesus' ascension is also the gift of the Spirit. Amen. One of the things that Jesus received to give is the Spirit and his giftings. You see that John was clear that the gift of the Spirit cannot be given until Jesus is glorified. John 7:37. The Spirit would only be given when Jesus is glorified. John 7:37. Are you there? John 7:37. It says, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart, whose heart? Okay, thank you, Jesus, will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given. Underline that. Not yet given. Why? Because Jesus was not yet glorified. Underline that. Not yet glorified. Can we say ascended on high? Is it the same thing? Okay, thank you very much. So, until his ascension, the gift and giftings of the Spirit will not be given. Okay? Will not be given. Now, Jesus dies, is buried, then raised the third day and glorified. Now, at his glorification, he receives the Spirit. Amen. Look at Acts 2:33. One of the things that the glorification gave to Jesus is the Spirit. Think about that. Acts 2:33. Let's see that. Acts 2:33. Turn there. Let's see that, okay? Are you there? Okay, it says, therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, look at this, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit. Underline, having received. Okay, I remember when we were much younger, we used to have issues with this text. What do you mean Jesus received the Holy Spirit? Right? Now look at what he does. He poured out. Come on! Underline that. Do you see that? He poured out this, which you now see and hear. So, he receives the Spirit to pour out the Spirit. Come on! That is the laukak, right? Of Psalm 68, verse 18. Okay? Now, who is the Spirit poured out upon? Men! Why? For ministry. See Acts 2:16. Okay? Acts 2:16. It says, and this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last, it says, God, that I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. Hallelujah. Underline that. I'll pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall what? Prophesy. Underline that. Prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Underline that. See visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Underline dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants. Underline that. Men servants, maid servants. I will pour out my Spirit. Underline that. Pour out my Spirit in those days and they shall prophesy. Underline that. Prophesy. Remember, these words, men servants and maid servants, speaks of ministers. Amen. Those who labor in the gospel. So what happened at the ascension of Jesus? He receives men and the Spirit. Not for himself, but for his people. Okay? He then pours out his Spirit on those men and then gives those men to his church as gifts. Hallelujah. Do you see that now? Do you see that now? So, Jesus conquers the devil, takes his spoil, right? Or his gifts, right? Which are what? Men, right? Okay, he received men, right? Okay, thank you. Then he gave those same men back as gifts to his church, the laukak. Do you remember that? So, he received to give. Praise the Lord. So, Paul is correct. Amen? Ephesians 4:8. He's correct. He's not misquoting the Psalms. Do you see that now? Okay, whatever the Christ received at his ascension, he gives back to his people, just like Psalm 68 verse 18 prophesied. So, Paul simply explained what Jesus did in Ephesians 4:8. Do you get it now? It says, therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. He's not misquoting Psalm 68 verse 18. He's explaining it. Do you get it now? Okay, so Jesus gave gifts because he first of all received gifts. Psalm 68 verse 18. Do you get it now? Okay, thank you very much. Now, these gifts are men. Okay, full of his spirit for service. Okay, you see that verse 11 tells us that. Verse 11 of that same chapter, Ephesians 4. It says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, underline that apostles, some prophets, online prophets, some evangelists, online that evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, underline that, pastors and teachers, or pastors who are teachers, right? Kai, pastors or pastoring teachers. So the gifts are the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, and pastoring teachers, or the ministry gifts. Okay? Now, these gifts will be found within the local church, walking in the midst of his people. Praise the Lord. Do you see that now? Okay, so those are the gifts that he received and he gave back. That is the measure of Christ's gift found within the local assembly of the saints. Praise the Lord. He received them, he gave them back. That is the measure of his gifts. Praise the Lord. Now, why were these gifts given? What role do they perform amongst God's people? You see that verses 12 to 16 tell us. Now, let's take them one after the other. Now, that will answer our question. Why did God give local churches in the first place? Okay? You see that in verses 12 to 16. So, are you ready now? Okay. Now, first of all, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. Verse 12. Okay, the ministry gift, also known as the measure, working individually, each one with his own specific task, work to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Now, that word equipping translates the Greek katatismon. Okay, katatismon. That's katatismon. Katatismon, which means preparing, praise the Lord, making fit, perfecting. Okay, so the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and pastoring teachers work to prepare the saints to be ministers. Do you see that? They train the saints for service. This is why God gave local churches. So a local church fulfilling God's desire will be found doing this. Okay, now see next bullet point. So you are bullet putting here, okay? There isn't bullet points here, okay? Now the next bullet point, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Verse 12. Okay, the edifying of the body of Christ. That word edifying translates the Greek oikodomen. Okay, oikodomen. O-I-K-O-D-O-M-E-N. O-I-K-O-D-O-M-E-N. Okay, the E accentuated, okay, after M, which means or refers to building, okay, or spiritual advancement. You see that this same word was used in classical Greek for how houses were built up and made to stand. Okay, so the ministry gifts within the local church are to build up the saints spiritually. Okay, there ought to be spiritual growth for every church member. Do you see that? That is why local churches were given. The next bullet point here. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Verse 13 of that same chapter, okay? Now, the word unity used here, it translates the Greek enotes. Okay? Enotes. H-E-N-O-T-S. H-E-N-O-T-S. Which means harmony or oneness. Okay? Faith there, pistis in the Greek, refers to doctrine or a belief system. Now, that belief system is the knowledge of the Son of God. So, the result of the ministry gifts is sameness in beliefs. Do you see that? We all come to know Jesus the same way. Praise the Lord. That is the role of the ministry gifts. So, a good local church is where we all believe alike. We've said, right? Okay? There is harmony in our faith and practice. Then next, still in verse 13, it says to a perfect man. Verse 13. Now the word perfect translates the Greek theleos. Theleios. C-E-L-E-I-O-S. C-E-L-E-I-O-S. It means full grown or mature. So you can say to a full grown or mature man. Now that maturity would show in our mental and moral life. Okay, our mental and our moral life. So the work of the local church would affect how the Christian thinks and acts. Do you follow that? That's what Paul is saying here. How he thinks and how he acts. Then he goes on to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 13. Now remember that word measure, right? Metron. Okay. Paul used this word for ministry, we've said, right? Okay. So once the local church has done his job well, we will then find more men in ministry. That's what Paul is saying here. Praise the Lord. We'll find more men in ministry. They are trained, then they too take up responsibility to train others. Do you see that? So the local church matures the saints so that the saints can now mature others also. Remember I told you a ripple effect, right? Okay, thank you. A domino effect. Now next, that we should no longer be children. Verse 14. Okay, now that word children, it translates the Greek nepios. N-E-P-I-O-S. N-E-P-I-O-S. Nepios, the E accentuated, which means immature. Okay, childish, simple-minded. Immature, childish, simple-minded. So a good local church will make you spiritually smart. Do you get it? You won't be dull. A child is one who is unskilled in the word of righteousness. Hebrews 5:13 tells us. He's unskilled. The next, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Verse 14. Now this won't happen if the local church does its job well. Now that phrase tossed to and fro is an imagery of the four winds of the earth. You see that the Bible usually talks about the four winds. Have you seen that before? Of the earth, right? The four winds. Okay, you see that in Ezekiel 37:9. References now for that. Ezekiel 37:9, Jeremiah 49:36, then Daniel 7:2. Okay, now it blows every which way. Amen. Those are the four winds of the earth, every which way in four directions. Okay, so a good local church will keep a believer firm in doctrine. That's what Paul is saying here. Okay, it won't be carried every which way in different directions by different doctrines. Do you follow that? So you're not like this. Look at me. You're firm. Do you get it? That's the imagery here. Moving from place to place. No, you are in one place. So such a Christian is not the one whereby, you know, someone tells him, cover your hair. Amen. He covers. Another place he goes to say, don't cover your hair. He covers. He doesn't have firm conviction. No. Okay. So how do you know a good local church? It makes you firm and confident in truth. Amen. You are not moved by heresies. You know, I've told you so much so that even if an angel appears to you and tells you something that is not in God's word, you can say, no, you're not saying what is true. Praise the Lord. Okay, so a good local church will make you have firm opinions and firm convictions. Nothing can easily dissuade you. Do you follow that? Or distract you. That is a good local church. That's how you can tell. Praise the Lord. Then next, but speaking the truth in love, so this is another bullet point, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, underline that, every joint supplies, according to the effective working, underline that, effective working, by which every part does its share, underline that, every part does its share, causes growth of the body, underline that, growth of the body, for the edifying, underline that, edifying of itself in love. So the final result of the ministry gifts within the local assembly is this: the body of Christ as a whole then grows. Remember, those who are grown grow others, right? Okay, that's what verse 16 means by every part does its share. Okay, so we will then find several other ministry gifts. Everyone will do his part. You get it now? Okay, working hand in hand, for the growth and edifying of the body in love. So we see from Ephesians 4 that Jesus intended two major things to happen within the local church. Two major things. Okay? Number one, the growth of Christians. The saints are to be matured, developed. And number two, that these Christians take up ministry after they have grown. Do you see that? So in the local church, Jesus intended that men will grow spiritually so they can grow others. So any good local church is one where these two things are given priority. Do you see that now? So I must ask myself this question when choosing a local assembly. Is this local church concerned about my spiritual growth and ministry? Amen? You know what I mustn't do? I mustn't be distracted by ephemerals and gimmicks like good sound. Amen? Good music. You know, that's why some people go to a church. Say, ha! Ging, 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 ging. That's the only reason why some people go to church. Okay, nice stage lights. No! Jesus didn't give local churches for good music. Amen? As good as music is. He didn't give local churches for charity. As good as generosity is. Okay? He didn't give local churches to have a good time. Let me say this to you. The local church should be boring. Do you follow that? In your mind, when you're thinking of fun places to go to, remove the local church. When you think of party, cinema, club, I'm going to say club, Christian, club, no. Social events, concerts, just remove church. Do you follow that? Church is serious business. Do you follow that? Everything is serious. Everyone is frowning. Yeah, we are serious. We come with our Bible. That's church. Do you follow that? Not for Faji. Amen. To just have fun. Now, also, don't go to the church nearest to your house. You know, some people do that. They just look for any church nearby to attend. You know, oh Lord, my God. You are very silly. Very silly. Do you do that for school? Imagine you just find one school, Glory Grammar School, near your area. I hope that's not the real school, so that they don't sue us. That's a joke, okay? Please, that came to me by inspiration of the Holy Ghost. I didn't preempt that, okay? You just find one school near you. You know, they used to have very funny names. Jesus Christ International. I hope that's not the school. I'm sorry, please, if that's the name of your school. And then you attend and say, it's near my house. Why don't you do that? Some of you left one state to come to Ibadan. Am I lying? To come on school. Abi Sir Chelsea. Aha. You left one state. Why don't you go to Uni Ondo? Or a school in Ondo? You left. You came to Ibadan because you say UI, first and the best. Aha. But you do that for church. You see, you're very silly. You see that? You see that we have examples of people in the Bible who traveled long distances just to worship. Amen. The Ethiopian eunuch is one of them. Amen. You find his story, Acts 8, okay, verses 26 to 40. Now, this man traveled from Africa to Asia to worship. Think about that. He left continents. He traveled a continent for worship. You see that Paul too would often travel to Antioch, right, for church. Amen. I give references for that now. Acts 13, 14 and Acts 14, 21. Remember, his local church was there, right? So he would travel there for church. So distance should never, put it in capital letters, okay, be a determining factor for choosing your local assembly. Never, never look at distance. It must never be a factor. You must never consider distance when choosing your local assembly. No. Like Charles Spurgeon says, don't go to the church nearest to your house. Go to the church nearest to the Bible and go there often. I mean, that's clear, right? Okay, so I must not focus on convenience when choosing my local church. Remember, a local church is what? A training center where ministers are brought up, right? Okay, now that word training already shows that convenience is secondary. Amen? Amen. So I mustn't be overly concerned with convenience. Rather, I must look out for a church where the activities are tailored toward my spiritual training. Do you follow that? That must be what I'm on the lookout for, my spiritual training. What are they doing here? Will it make me grow spiritually? Now, how can I tell? Look at the activities. There are certain activities that will make you mature in the faith and ministry. And there are other activities that won't grow you. Amen? That won't grow you. Now, what activities ensure that you mature in the faith and ministry? Now, number one, sound Bible teaching. Sound Bible teaching. In 1 Peter 2:2, Peter says there, says, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Okay? So, only the word, rightly taught, can grow the saints. Okay? Only sound Bible doctrine will equip you for ministry. Look at how Paul says this. 2 Timothy 3:16. Please turn your Bible there. 2 Timothy 3:16. Okay? It says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, that is teaching, okay? For reproof, that is giving of evidence, okay? For correction, for instruction in righteousness, okay? That, can we say because? Or so that, can we say for, okay? The man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Underline that. Complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, every good work here refers to ministry. Now, how is the man of God made complete and equipped for every good work? Through verse 16. Do you follow that? Doctrine or teaching, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. Can we summarize all of this as good Bible teaching? Yes. Do you see that? So that is how ministers are trained for every good work. Verse 16. And that is why the early church had a culture of teaching. They kept teaching, kept teaching, kept teaching, kept teaching. The early church. Let's run through now. Acts 11:25. Okay, then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and what? Taught a great many people. Underline that. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. See Acts 15:35. Acts 15:35. It says Paul and Barnabas also remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word. Underline that. Teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. So is he teaching again, right? Okay, Acts 18:11. Acts 18:11. It says, and he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word. Underline that. Teaching the word of God among them. Okay? And Jesus instructs us to make disciples. This will only happen via teaching. Look at Matthew 28:18 again. Okay, Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and said to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples. Underline that, okay? Students, mentees of all the nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. 20. Teaching them. That's how that happens, okay? So observe all things I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So find a local church that doesn't joke with Bible doctrine. Okay? Bible theology. You must check their doctrinal statements before you join them. What do they believe? Okay, do these guys give the word first place? You know, what is their attitude towards God's word? Do you get it? Your spiritual growth must be taken into consideration before anything else when choosing a local church. Do you follow that? Your spiritual growth before anything else. Now also, watch the church's theology on money. Okay, check, what do they teach on money? You must be mindful and careful and wary of a church that puts an unhealthy emphasis on money. Okay, you see that the Bible warns against greed and covetousness. Hebrews 13:5. Please turn there. Hebrews 13:5. It says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Don't like that. Without covetousness, okay? Be content, okay, with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hallelujah. See 1 Timothy 6:17. So he warns against covetousness, right? Greed. 1 Timothy 6:17. Command those who are rich in this world not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches. Underline that. Trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us riches all things to enjoy. Let them do good that they may be rich in what? Good works. Underline that. Rich in good works. Ready to give, okay? Willing to share, stirring up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Also, a pastor must not be greedy. Okay, that is one of his qualifications. 1 Timothy 3:3. Let's see that. 1 Timothy 3:3. Okay, one of the qualifications of the bishop or the pastor. Okay, not giving to wine. Okay, not violent, not greedy for money. Underline that. Not greedy for money. Okay, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous. Underline that. Not covetous. So, a church that always talks about or boasts about money is a red flag. Okay? Be careful. Be mindful of joining a materialistic assembly. Do you follow that? Whereby they are competing with themselves. Who has the most money? You know, ministry is now who has more things than another person. Be careful. Do you follow that? The Bible warns against that. So, look out for that when choosing your local assembly, okay? Whereby the pastor just... He wants to be a billionaire by ministry. Amen? Be careful. Now, number two, prayer. That is one of the activities that grows you, okay? So, you should look out for this as well when choosing a local church. Do these guys pray? You see that prayer grows the saints. See 1 Corinthians 14:4. It says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Underline that. Edifies himself. But he who prophesies edifies the church. Now that word edifies is that same word, oikodomio. Okay, oikodomio. O-I-K-O-D-O-M-E-O. O-I-K-O-D-O-M-E-O. Which has to do with building up. Okay, building up. So you can read it this way. He who speaks in a tongue builds himself up. Okay? So, when we pray in tongues, we build up ourselves, amen? Spiritually. We get better in the faith. So, get a church where prayer is regular practice. Okay? We've seen that prayer was a major part of the early church. Look at Acts 1:13. We're running through now. Acts 1:13 to 14. It says, and when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they had been saying, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. Look at 14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. Underline that. Okay? With the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Now see Acts 2:42. Okay? A culture of prayer in the early church. Acts 2:42. It says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Underline that, okay? In prayers. Acts 3:1. So you see that not everything in the book of Acts is normative, right? Meaning we don't have to copy everything, but most of their practices can be emulated. Amen? Okay? Acts 3:1. It says, now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. Underline that, okay? The hour of prayer. Then Acts 4:23-32. Acts 4:23-32. It says, and being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard it, they raised their voice to God. Now what's that? Prayer. Thank you. Underline that. Raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, your God, who made heaven and earth and all the sea and all that is in it, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, Why did the nations rage and the people blood faintings? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly, against your only servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats. Is this prayer? Okay, and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. That is prayer, okay? By stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your only servant Jesus. And look at 31. And when they had prayed, underline that, when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Then Acts 6:4. Okay, it says, but we'll give ourselves continually to prayer, underline that, okay, prayer, and to the ministry of the word. Then Acts 12:5. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer, okay, underline that, constant prayer, was offered to God for him by the church. See verse 12 of that same chapter. So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where they were gathered together praying. Underline that, okay? So the early church prayed and prayed together often. Okay? The epistles instruct us to do likewise. See 1 Thessalonians 5:17. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says, pray without ceasing. Remember that? In the Greek, it says, continually continue to pray. Okay, Ephesians 6:18, it says, praying always. Underline that, okay? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. Romans 12:12, it says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Underline that, okay? Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Okay, so look out for a praying church. Amen? Where you are trained to pray. Alright? Not the church that just wants everything convenient for you. Under 10 minutes, you are done with prayer. So that's prayer meeting. 10 minutes. Okay? Then number 3, also look out for the demonstrations of the Spirit. Okay? The demonstrations of the Spirit. Okay? The things of the Spirit are given to mature the church. See 1 Corinthians 14:4 again. 1 Corinthians 14:4 again. It says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies or builds up, okay, the church. Underline that. Edifies the church. Now, prophecy here is a manifestation of the Spirit. Okay? See 1 Corinthians 12:10. 1 Corinthians 12:10. It says, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy. Okay? So, prophecy edifies the gathering of saints. God has given numerous manifestations of the Spirit to bless his people. See 1 Corinthians 12:4. 1 Corinthians 12:4. It says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, diversities of ministries, but the same Lord, diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. 7. But the manifestation, phanerosis, unveiling of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Underline that. The profit of all. So, the manifestation of the Spirit is for the profit of all, or for our common good, amen, in the Greek. Paul then lists these manifestations, verse 8. It says, for the one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. So, a local church that has these manifestations will benefit everyone. Verse 7 tells us, right? Okay? So, go to a local church where the Spirit is given free course, where the things of the Spirit are practiced and needs are met by the power of God. Hallelujah. Okay? Then number 4, evangelism. Okay? Something else to look out for. Evangelism. Now, if the end goal of the local church is ministry, then the local church should be training all its members to be ministers. Amen. Every believer in Christ has received a ministry. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Please turn there. 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if anyone, underline that, okay, anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us, that is everyone in Christ, okay, underline that, giving us the ministry of reconciliation, underline that. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us, underline that, okay, committed to us the word or message of reconciliation. So God gave us a message and a ministry to reconcile sinful men back to him. So as long as you are a new creation in Christ, you have a ministry. Say, I have a ministry, okay? Then a good local church then helps you develop that ministry. Do you get it? You already have it. Then the good local church helps you develop that ministry. Now, evangelism is one of the ways that this happens. You see that evangelism gives you the opportunity to test out what you've learned in church, right? How much you know, right? How to answer questions, right? Okay, thank you. And you find that believers in the early church were trained to evangelize. Okay, in Acts 8, when Saul persecuted the church, immediately they spread out and started preaching. You see that Acts 8, 1 to 4. Let's say that quickly. Okay, Acts 8, 1 to 4. It says, now Saul was consenting to his death. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation for him. Now look at 3. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Now look at 4. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Underline that. Preaching the word. So you see, they were trained, right? They knew what to do. Praise the Lord. So a good local church emphasizes the Great Commission. That is a good local church. See Matthew 28:18 again. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples. Underline that. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Okay? So he commissions us. Mark 16:15. Let's see that. Mark 16:15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Underline that. Preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. See John 20:21. John 20:21. This is what is known as the Great Commission, famously. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you, as the Father sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Now, how do we forgive or retain sins? By preaching the message that forgives sins. Luke 24:46. Let's see that. Luke 24:46. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission, underline that, okay, or forgiveness of sins, okay, should be preached, underline that, remission of sins should be preached, okay, in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So can we say forgiveness is a message? Huh? Can we say forgiveness is in a message? Okay, now that is how we forgive or retain sins, by preaching the message or the gospel, okay, or refusing to preach the same. Remember, forgiveness is where? In that message. So when I preach the gospel, I make the forgiveness of sins available to the sinner. Do you get it now? So that is how I forgive his sins. Do you follow that? Okay, but if I refuse to preach, I retain his sins. Do you follow that? Okay, thank you. So find a local church where you are empowered to work in God's plan for your life. Okay, and that plan is ministry. Praise the Lord. Then lastly, okay, the honor and love walk. The honor and love walk. Now, a local church is a community of saints. Okay, we are brethren in the local church. See 1 Corinthians 16:20. As we're going to close gradually now. 1 Corinthians 16:20. It says, all the brethren greet you. You see that? Referring to fellow Christians. So we are brethren. So we are brothers and sisters. Okay? Now, because we are brethren, we walk in love towards one another. Okay? We show honor and respect to ourselves. You see that the early church would often kiss to show this, right? You see that in the same verse, 1 Corinthians 16:20, it says, greet one another with a holy kiss. Okay, today that will be a warm handshake. Amen? So, we are family, we are one. See, we are family and we are one. Praise the Lord. You see that Jesus' commandment was that we love one another. That is what he commanded, our Lord Jesus Christ, that we love one another. See John 13:34. It says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Underline that, okay? Love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. Underline that, okay? By these, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Underline that, okay? Have love for one another. See John 15:12. John 15:12. Run through now, okay? So be handy with your Bible. John 15:12. It says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Underline that. You love one another as I have loved you. Okay, look at verse 17 of that same chapter. It says, these things I command you, that you love one another. Underline that. That you love one another. Now see 1 John 3:23. 1 John 3:23. It says, and this is his commandment. Underline that, okay? Commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son Jesus Christ and love one another. Underline that, love one another as he gave us commandment. Now that word love here translates the Greek agapao, A-G-A-P-A-O. Okay, agapao, the verb form of agape, okay, which refers to self-sacrificial love. Self-sacrificial love, to prefer others to oneself. Now that is how Jesus loved us, and that is how we are to love others. 1 John 3:16. Let's see that. 1 John 3:16. It says, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. Okay? And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now he's not saying here to die for the brethren, okay? Jesus did that already. But to follow in his self-sacrificial attitude towards them. Do you follow that? To follow in his self-sacrificial attitude towards them. You see that the epistles also instruct us to love one another. See 2 John 1:5. We'll run through now, okay? 2 John 1:5. It says, now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which you've heard from the beginning, that we love one another. Underline that. That we love one another. See Philippians 2:1. Philippians 2:1. It says, therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love. Underline that. Having the same love. Being of one accord, of one mind, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. You see that? Let each of you look out not for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Okay, this is within the local church. Look at Galatians 5:13. Galatians 5:13. It says, for you brethren, I have been called to liberty, Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, underline that, through love, serve one another. See Ephesians 4:1. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. Underline that. In love. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Look at Romans 12:10. Romans 12:10. It says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. Underline that. Brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. See 1 Thessalonians 4:9. 1 Thessalonians 4:9. It says, but concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. Underline that, okay? Taught by God to love one another. So we see how God loves, then we learn. Do you see that? See 1 Peter 1:22. 1 Peter 1:22. It says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently. Underline that. Love one another fervently with a pure heart. See 1 Peter 2:17. 1 Peter 2:17. It says, honor all people, love the brotherhood. Underline that. Those are fellow Christians, okay? Love the brotherhood. Fear God, honor the King. See 2 Peter 1:7. 2 Peter 1:7. It says, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. Okay, underline that, okay? Love. See 1 John 4:7. Popular verse. 1 John 4:7. It says, beloved, let us love one another. This is a song, right? For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Hallelujah. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, now look at this, we also ought to love one another. Underline that. We also ought to love one another. See Hebrews 13:1. It says, let brotherly love continue. Okay? Clear, straight to the point. See 1 Peter 4:8. 1 Peter 4:8. It says, and above all things, have fervent love. Underline that. Have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Hallelujah. Okay, so look out for a local church where the people walk in love and honor toward one another. Do you follow that? Where there is a sense of community, okay, oneness, where they are not rude, amen, manipulative or abusive. Okay, a local church is where you can run to, amen, in times of need or trouble. You see that the early church met church members' needs. Acts 2:44. Let's see that quickly as we round off now. Acts 2:44. Okay? Acts 2:44. It says, now all who believed were together and had all things in common. Underline that. All things in common. And sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. Underline that. As anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. Underline that, okay? Breaking bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. You see that? They met the needs of the members. Look at Acts 4:32. Acts 4:32. It says, now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. Underline that. They had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. And look at 34. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked. Underline that. Okay? For all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet and distributed to each one as anyone had need. Okay? Underline that. As anyone had need. So we help each other in times of need. That is a local church. You see that there? Okay? When you are sick, you have leaders you can call. James 5:14. Okay? James 5:14. It says, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of what? Of the church. Underline that. Elders of the church, okay? Those will be the pastors, okay? So you can call for them, right? That is a community. Praise the Lord, okay? And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. That is a local church. Praise the Lord. Okay, so there's that sense of community, okay? We are one and we are family. So a good local church looks out for the well-being of its members. Do you see that now? So look out for that as well in choosing your local church. So in conclusion, the local church is God's idea. Amen? He gave local churches, amen, for the betterment of his people. So the one who is wise will therefore find a community of believers to identify with. God never intended for a Christian to dwell alone. Praise the Lord. Did you learn? All right, lift your hands. Thank him. We'll continue from here in the next service. Give him praise. Thank him. Just lift your hands.